John chapter 6, verse 26, all the way to verse 40. This is the reading of God's word. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign, so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. We pray that you will work in us that we may hear and we may understand and we may believe and we may obey your word. Let us grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us be like him more and more every single day. And Father, we pray that by your grace the word will be preached correctly, and your people will be blessed. And Father, and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the last three Lord's Supper Sundays, Lord's Days, we have been looking at John chapter 6. And today we continue from verse 26. As you already know, Jesus fed 5,000 people with the five loaves of bread and two fish. And we have concluded that this story is like a preview of the Last Supper the night before our Lord's death on the cross. Just as in the Last Supper, Jesus is giving himself to his people. Even in our story, the new Exodus has begun. And this Exodus is from sin and from this world. In the Old Testament, God led his people in the wilderness as his sheep and gave them the manna, the bread from heaven. Now Jesus, the Good Shepherd, leads his people and gives himself as the true manna. He makes us lie down in green pastures, and He leads us beside quiet waters. He prepares a table before us, and our cup overflows. It is a picture of our heavenly reality. But the sinners only want this world. They are not interested in heaven. They want Jesus only as the earthly Messiah who will make them live well in this world with good health and much wealth. Let us take him by force to make him king. He will give us this world. And Jesus flees from them. He withdraws to the mountain by himself alone, but later we read he comes to his disciples to be with them. And we come to verse 22, the next day. And we see sinners, those same sinners, they're seeking Jesus Christ. Verse 24, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. They are seeking Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Actually, even as they were seeking him, they could not understand why Jesus would ignore them. Jesus needs us if he were to rule the world. He cannot do this all by himself. He needs us. And when they have found him, they said, verse 25, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus says, and we come to our passage, verse 26, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Jesus knows the truth. You know, we might pretend, we might say all kinds of things we don't mean, but Jesus knows. He knows our hearts. And he knows why they are seeking him. They were seeking Jesus because their bellies were filled. Jesus is asking them, why are you seeking me? What are you looking for? What do you want? What do you think that I could give you? You work for the food that perishes. Do not work for the food which perishes. Work for the food that I give you. Work for the food which endures to eternal life. At this, the sinners were thinking to themselves, oh, did you say the food which endures to eternal life? Good. That is what we want. Let us work for that. Yes, Lord, we'll do that. So verse 28, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? We're ready. You just tell us what we should do and we'll do them. And you're going to give that food that you're talking about. Obviously, they don't understand what Jesus is saying. But at their level, they ask, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answers, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What shall we do? What kind of work should we do so that we could get this food that you're talking about? He says, believe in me, Jesus says. This is the work of God. Jesus brings the focus to himself. He is the focus, the center. But the sinners don't like that. What they want is God's worldly blessing upon them, and they want to receive God's blessing through their good works. And they may want to receive God's blessing through their good works. Why? So they could say they deserve them. They did the work. So this doesn't, you know, agree with them. What? Just believe you, Jesus? Just believe? That doesn't sound right. Certainly, it doesn't sound right. So, they continue verse 30. What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Prove to us that following you will be worth it. They ask for a sign again. Do you remember what we read in chapter 6, verse 2? A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing. So they already saw many signs. Then they saw what Jesus has done when he fed the 5,000 people right in front of their eyes. They want to see yet another sign. For what purpose? Why do they want to see yet another sign? So that they may see and believe Jesus? No. They saw many, many signs, enough signs, yet they don't believe. This is how it is with those who want this world. It is never enough. There is no satisfaction. They ate, and yet still no satisfaction. They want more. Yeah, some say, only if I could have, like, I don't know, $10 million. But believe me, when that person gets that $10 million, he will not be satisfied. There is no satisfaction in this world. Yeah, we look at these super rich people out there who have so much money, and we're thinking, why does he want more? But that is the sinful nature. That's how this world works. No matter how much they have, they still feel empty. No satisfaction. See, this is how it is with those who live by sight, not by faith. No matter how much they have, no matter how much they see, still no satisfaction. In vain, they will try to find satisfaction in this world, but it is in vain. All my works, all my boasting, everything they're so proud of doing and whatever, still empty. There is no end to it, no contentment. What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Jesus, listen to us. Do you not understand what we are asking? Well, Let us give you an example. Verse 31. Sign. We're talking about this. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Do you see Jesus? We want this kind of sign. Can you give us this kind of bread, Jesus? Do you understand what is going on here? They only know and they only want this world. This is everything for them. They understand everything in the Bible in terms of this world. They believe God gave the manna so the people can live well in this world and without working. Do you see in the Bible, God gave Israelites through Moses this bread from heaven? Can you do that? Show us. We'll follow you. We'll make you our king. But why did God give this manna? Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Do you understand why did God give manna? Not so that they see that and go, whoa, if I follow this God, I'm going to be rich. No, he gave them manna so that they don't have to worry about what to eat, what to wear, so that they could concentrate on God and glorifying God. See, that's the whole point. That he gave manna so that they may know that man does not live by bread alone. We don't even have to care about bread because God will give us. So that whole our focus should be on God. That was the purpose. But see, their focus was on that bread. Earthly bread. That's the only thing they're focusing on. And nothing has changed. All sinners, even today, they do the same. It's all about the worldly things that they think that God might give them. See, they simply don't get it. Just like so many churchgoers today, they don't get it. Give us that kind of food if you want us to follow you and believe you. In verses 32 and 33, God says, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and it gives life to the world. The Old Testament manna is not the true manna. Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the true manna. He is the true manna, the bread out of heaven. Only he gives the eternal life. Verse 34, Lord, always give us this bread. Irony, huh? Jesus speaks in heavenly level, and these people understand in earthly level. We see this all the time in the book of John. God says you must be born again, born from above. And Nicodemus, he's talking about heavenly level, right, God? But Nicodemus understands in earthly level, what, do I need to go back into my mother's womb and come out again? Heavenly level and earthly level. It just, there's no connection. Jesus speaks, but they understand in a completely sinful way. Jesus says to woman at the well, I will give you water. He's talking about Holy Spirit. And the woman says, you don't even have a bucket to draw the water from wells. How are you going to give me this water? See how God speaks in heavenly terms, but people understand in an earthly terms. Same thing goes on here. Jesus is talking to them, but they just don't get it. Give us this bread. Always give us this bread. They are not asking for Jesus, because this bread is Jesus. And Jesus is giving himself to sinners, but these sinners saying, they don't see Jesus, and they keep saying to Jesus, give us this bread, give us this bread. It's right there. He already did give this bread. But no, not that bread. Do you understand what is going on? See, they know. See, they understand Bible, as we have seen already, the Old Testament in a worldly way. So they know a lot of stories in the Old Testament, like Joseph in Egypt. Remember? Prepare for the 7-year drought. The whole world came to Joseph for food. Don't you see it? Food equals to power. You could rule the whole world with food. That's what happened. Everybody came to Egypt to get food. Man, if we could have Jesus as our king, everyone will come for food. He could provide food. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This is the best weapon to rule over the whole world. Don't you see this? Sinners always seeking the world. These people are what Philippians chapter 3 calls the enemies of the cross. Their God is their appetite or their belly, who set their minds on earthly things. And Jesus, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. He who comes to me, he who believes in me, he will not hunger, he will never thirst. Complete satisfaction Jesus offers. Eternal satisfaction Jesus offers. But the people who follow Jesus in our story, they do not have that satisfaction. Why? Verse 36, you have seen me and yet do not believe. They do not have the true bread out of heaven. They do not have Jesus Christ, thus no satisfaction. Only person who will have the perfect satisfaction is, is the one who believes in Jesus Christ. The people simply do not understand what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing. They're saying to one another, why is he saying these things? Later on, he says, man, what he teaches is very offensive teaching. And they all leave later. You will read about that later. We will see that later. All this teaching, Jesus is speaking the truth, and then it confuses them. This is offensive teaching. I can't hear this anymore. They leave. Why is Jesus ignoring us? He needs us if he were to rule over the world. He cannot. How can he ignore us? The people of God. The Jews, we are the people of God. How can the Messiah ignore us? God is going to give us this world. We will rule the world. We are his people. What are you doing, Jesus? Don't you understand that without us, you will not have this world? But Jesus is not interested in this world. But the people are not interested in heaven. And that is what is going on. Verses 37 to 40, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Those who believe in him, believe in Jesus Christ, they will have eternal life. They already have eternal life. God will raise them up from the dead to the everlasting life. But the sinners do not want this kind of food. They don't care. Brothers and sisters, how about you? Are you interested in this kind of food? Where does your interest rest? On this world or on the other world? Brothers and sisters, is this world everything to you? Or do you see heaven beyond this world? Are you working for the food that perishes? Or are you working for the food that endures to eternal life? What are you doing at this moment in your life? Brothers and sisters, let us listen to Jesus. Jesus is giving himself to you. And even our Lord's Supper today shows that. He gives his life. He gives himself to you. And he will not cast you out when you come to him. He will not leave you nor forsake you. But on that last day, he will raise you up to everlasting life of heaven. But remember that that reality is already yours in Christ, even today. The life of heaven is yours already. The resurrected life is your life presently. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, we witness that reality. And brothers and sisters, as you come to this table, realize that it is no longer a test. Do you remember in Genesis, Adam? God is saying to Adam, do not eat. And it was a test. And when he ate, the way to the tree of life was blocked off for him, and he was kicked out of the garden. But look what is happening right now. You are as sinful as Adam. But what is Jesus saying to you? Jesus Christ, your God, invites you, and he says to you, eat and drink. The way of heaven is open for you. The way of the tree of life is open to you. And you are not kicked out of God's presence. Actually, you are being invited into his presence. You eat and drink with your God. Everything has changed because of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He gives you himself. And your job is to believe in him. You have found him. And when you say to him, Lord, always give us this bread. You are seeking Jesus to give himself. And you are asking God to give you Jesus Christ. And he does give himself to you. Always give us this bread. And when we say that, we're not saying it like these sinners who do not get it. We're not asking for the bread of this world. When we say, give us this bread always, we're asking God to give us Jesus Christ. And He is giving exactly what you're asking. We are not like these sinners who come to Jesus for wrong things. And when they don't get it, they leave. We come to possess God Himself. And we already possess Him, as He possesses us. And we will never leave, just like He will never leave us and forsake us. And these teachings that He gives us is eternal life to us. It's not offensive teaching. We don't want to live. We want to hear it always. We want to receive this bread from heaven always. Oh yes, the satisfaction that we enjoy. Brothers and sisters, as your brother who loves you, not as much as, not even close to Jesus, but let me ask you, are you happy? See, this is a very, very important question. Because if you could say truly yes to that question, then you understand, and I don't have to worry about you. Are you happy right now? With all the problems you have, with all the difficult situations that you don't even know how to solve it, just as who you are right now, are you happy? And if you are, then why are you happy? Is it because of Jesus Christ? And what He has done and what He has accomplished for us, then rejoice because you're happy. And this is what Christian life is all about. It does not matter what happens in your life. Yes, I'm not minimizing those difficult times and sufferings. Yes, it is hard. I'm not saying it's easy. Why are you crying? No. But see, what Christ has done and what He gives to us is far greater than anything that this world can offer to us. We're happy because of Christ. Maybe I should ask you, rather than are you happy, are you not happy? Then why are you not happy? What other signs does Jesus have to perform for you so that you will be happy? What other signs does Jesus have to perform for you so that you will say, okay, enough, I will follow you, I love you, I'm satisfied? What did He not give you? He gave His life. And once anyone gives his life, That's all he has. What can Jesus give you more so that you will be happy? Matthew 12, verse 38 through 40, then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Same thing, these Pharisees, same sinners. But Jesus answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What other sign do you want? Jesus says, I only have sign of Jonah. Just like he was underwater for 3 days, and after 3 days he came out from the water, I will be dead for 3 days and resurrect. What sign? The sign that Jesus offers to you is his cross, his death, and his resurrection. What other sign does he have to perform for you so that you will give everything? You know, in today's poker language, all in. All in. He gave himself to you as it is witnessed in the Lord's Supper. And if you are not satisfied with Jesus and him alone, then you will never find satisfaction. And don't be deceived by the world. World tells you that if you get some more money, if you get better job, if you whatever, then you will have that satisfaction. No. Even after you get what you're asking, you will never be satisfied. You will be empty again. Only Jesus Christ will fill that emptiness with the fullness of heaven, the fullness of himself, the perfect and eternal satisfaction. That satisfaction that says, it really doesn't matter what happens in this world. It doesn't matter how much I have or how much I don't have. It doesn't matter how sick I am or how healthy I am. I am satisfied now and forever. Jesus is offering that to you. And he's not even asking for you to do anything to receive it. What should we do to do the work of God? Believe in me, he says. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us witness this satisfaction that we have in Jesus Christ. So that when you don't have much in the world, you show how happy you are. You know, it's actually a better message. When you have so much and you show how happy you are because of Christ, it doesn't show that well. Because people are going to misunderstand. Man, you are happy because you have all this. But when you don't have much and you show how happy you are and you say, I'm happy because of Christ, then they will pay attention because, wait a minute, he has no reason to be happy, but he's happy. Why? Why? Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, maybe you don't have a job, maybe you don't have a good job, maybe you don't have much money, but man, it's a great opportunity to witness. It's when you have so much, the witness becomes weak. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. person who believes in Jesus Christ and yet not satisfied, that is the ultimate contradiction. The ultimate. But you have reason to be happy. And today, he doesn't just preach to you. He shows you the reason. Look at his broken body and shed blood for you. He shows you the reason why you should forever be happy. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, come to his table with complete joy and satisfaction. For you have him, and he has you forever and ever. Let's pray together, brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Oh, Father, you are so good to us. You even gave us your Son, and he has given his life for us. There's no greater love than when one gives his life for a friend. And that is exactly what Jesus has done. And it's not just a friend, but many, many friends. Oh, Father, let us be truly happy. And let us show to the whole world that our happiness does not connected to what happens in this world or how much we have or don't have in this world. But that our happiness is in Jesus Christ and him alone. Oh, Father, by your grace, let us witness this. Let us be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Bless us, God, and we pray that you will receive much glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.